Today, we are going to talk about Sabbath of rest, taken from Exodus chapter 35, verses 1 to 3. Two thoughts for our consideration: mandatory rest and commandment for work. Mandatory rest and commandment for work. The Lord sought from his people Israel a commitment, to faithfulness. The law that Moses received from the Lord was rehearsed and written, and it was communicated to the people. This is the word of God that we have today in the Bible. Exodus chapter 34, verse 27, we saw, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel." So God has made a promise concerning what he has said to his people, and Moses is asked to write down so that these words that God has given will be a record to all generations of God's people. And verse 32 of Exodus 34 says, "And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in the commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai." And so the people were gathered together. It was a solemn moment. The open idolatry has been put away, and there is a reconsecration sought by the Lord with his people. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the good words of the Apostle Paul to this effect: "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So it is the will of God that Israel will become a nation of God's creation, and God's choice to be a witness to the nations of the world. They are to be consecrated for the sacred purpose by which they were created. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5 and 6 reminds us, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine," the Lord says. "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation," each one of them a priest, "to lead others to the worship, to know the living and true God. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." Israel was reminded that they are to keep themselves pure, separated from the defilement of sin, a consecrated people unto the Lord. And so in Exodus 34, 11 to 17, it was given to them. Remember, they are still at Mount Sinai, right? All the tabernacle has not been built yet. Right? After this, the tabernacle would be built. And all these words are given. You said, all talk. Well, this talk is important. If we would take heed to it, it will be well with us. Right? "Observe that thou, that which I command thee this day, behold, I drive thee before thee the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee, But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods. And one call thee, and thou shalt eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their sons go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. Well, what did they just did? They made themselves molten gods. And if you look at the history of Israel, well, it's a very, very sad history of idolatry. There shall be no unequal yoke with the people of the land in which God promised they will possess. Because their hearts will be turned away by these people, so that they would be turned away from serving their God. And so Israel was commanded to observe for their good 3 yearly feasts. They keep themselves separated, pure, not defiled by the people in the land. And then they are to keep this 3 yearly feast. They are to come to the Lord as a family, and they are to do so throughout the year. It's interspersed throughout the year so that they would remain faithful. They will not forget the Lord their God for all that God had done for them. Right, we have spoken about it. The feast of the unleavened bread thou shalt keep, Exodus 34:18. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread as I command thee in the time of the month Abib. For in the month Abib thou camest out from Egypt. All that open the matrix is mine, and firstlings among thy cattle, whether ox or sheep, or that is male, but the firstling of his ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou redeem not, thou shalt break his neck. All the firstborn sons thou shalt redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. What was it that God wanted them to remember? That they were being redeemed from their slavery, from the bondage of Egypt. We need to be reminded that we have been delivered from the bondage of sin. God had delivered you from the bondage of sin. Don't forget that. So Israel was to remember, and then they are to observe the Feast of Weeks, the first fruits of the wheat harvest, the Feast of Ingathering at the end of the year. Why? Because God is going to cause their crops to grow. And where does the rain come from? Where does the sunshine come from? Where does the fertility of the soil come from? Well, God is the one who gave all this to them. And God is saying to them, don't forget. And interspersed in between this text was the reminder to the commandment to keep the Sabbath day holy. Exodus 34:21. 6 days thou shalt work, but the seventh day thou shalt rest. In the yearing time and in the harvest thou shalt rest. The time when you are planting your seed, don't forget to rest. The time when you are harvesting, don't forget to rest. This is a weekly observance, more intense than the 3 feasts interspersed throughout the year. And it is commanded for our spiritual advancement. The Sabbath day, to keep it. Chapter 35, verse 1 to 3, our text. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to to death. Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. So we find this repeated so many times. It must be most important for his people. And here the fourth commandment is repeated before the work of building the tabernacle. Before building the tabernacle, God instructed that once again, don't forget the Sabbath rest. So two thoughts, mandated rest, second thought, commandment for service. Mandated rest is first thought. But on the seventh day, our text tells us, on the seventh day, there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Very severe consequences. The seventh day is a day that is set apart, that is considered sacred, a holy day. It is to be a most solemn day set aside to the Lord. And ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitation upon the Sabbath day. And so here, what do you mean by kindling fire? Well, it means that you shall not bake that which you would bake, but rather the Lord said that while they were in the wilderness, that they would prepare a portion on the sixth day, so that on the seventh day you would rest. Verse 23 of Exodus 16. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. So here, the Lord is saying to the Jews that it has to be a day of rest. No purposeful work, in other words. It's not that they are not allowed to light a candle, there should be darkness there. No, not that. Right? But not work, but rest. A mandated rest. He begins with the law of the Sabbath because this is much insisted, and this is an instruction that God has repeated. 6 days shall work be done. Right? Work for the tabernacle, work for the day, and then there should be that day of rest. The Sabbath rest, a rest which the world know little about. You see, before God gave the law, right, the heathen nations don't know about such rest. It is God who appointed that rest for his people so that there is an order in their life. Not just an order, but God is saying to them, right, that there is an order by which you can live your life that is in perfect harmony with what God himself will do. God created in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day. Right? He appreciated, in a sense, what was created. For us too, right? We work for 6 days. What do you do in the 6 days? Well, you work and do those things that God has put in your hands to do. And to the honor and glory of God. And then there is, after 6 days, a time of rest. And you must not forget that. And this rest is a sign of God's covenant with his people. You see, before they came out of Egypt, who were they? They were slaves, right? And when they were slaves, what happened? They had no rest at all, right? No rest at all. Before we come to know God, before we are born again, before God will take away our sins, we are in bondage to sin. We cannot but sin. But God, by his mercy, by his grace, save us from that bondage. And we find ourselves having a restfulness, salvation rest. Right? God gives to us that rest by which we are, we remember what He had done for us, freeing us from our bondage. And so for us, it is the Lord's Day, right? The day of Christ's resurrection. When we come to Him, gathered together for worship. And so we say this, that it is a sign of God's covenant with His people, a covenant made with Israel, made in the Exodus after they were delivered from the bondage in Egypt and on the way to inherit the rest of Canaan. And it is modeled after God's creation of the universe in six literal days, and He rested on the seventh day. Rash Muduni, he said, well, the pattern of the Sabbath is God's creation rest. The goal of the Sabbath is man's redemption rest. Exodus 31, verse 13, the Lord said to them, and we are reminded, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbath ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. Exodus 31, verse 13, verse 14. That ye may know that I am the Lord that sanctify you, that make you holy, that you should keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. You are to obey it, follow it. It's a mandated rest. For whoever doeth any work, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It shows them that relationship that they have with God. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. And in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. On the seventh day, He rested and was refreshed, rehydrated, as it were, strengthened. So the Lord is mandating this for our life, you know, to give us life. So such a concept of weekly rest is unknown to other cultures, and there is no biblical record of such practice prior to the Sabbath rest. And if you were to look and you would see in the early literature, you'll find that the Romans, well, they actually learn from the biblical text this concept, this idea of the Sabbath rest. Exodus. And so Rash Duni, again, he observed, well, he says, the Sabbath is not an infringement of man's liberty, but rather the liberation of men. The Sabbath asserts the principle of freedom under God, of liberty under God, God's law. It summons a man to obedience to the ordinance of rest in order to free man from himself and from his work. So God had to mandate rest in order that you be free from your work. God had to mandate that rest, make it compulsory that you rest, so that you'll be free from your work. It's a freedom that God gives to you. So don't rob yourself of it. You see, and God had to make it so severe because it is in our nature, in that sense, in our fallenness, to violate it. Right? We feel that if we can work that extra few hours, we earn a little bit more, why not work ourselves to death? In other words, that's what the Lord is saying to us. You see, God knows how much you can take. God knows that 6 days of work is already very intensive. You have to work 6 days, very intensive. You need that rest. Work isn't everything. Yes, you have to work, but there is also a time for rest so that you can be refreshed. It summons men to obedience to the ordinance of rest in order to free man from himself and from his work. The Sabbath in the Old Testament was not primarily a day of worship. Take note, it was not primarily a day of worship, but a day of rest. The pattern of weekly worship did not exist in the Old Testament law. The manna in the wilderness set forth God's rest and the order to observe the Sabbath with confidence in the sufficiency of manna reinforced this fact of God's provision. That means what they did, right, in the wilderness was that they were asked to take two portions, right, on the sixth day, so that they would have enough for the seventh day. Exodus chapter 16, verses 22 to 27. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses, and he said to them, "This is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning." And they laid it up until the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field." So they didn't find any manna on the seventh day, right? "6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none." And it came to pass that they went out, some of the people, on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. So we are to trust the Lord during the day of rest, that He will provide for you. You see, and oftentimes this is the dilemma, right, for many, right? To say that I cannot make it. But our Lord has already taught us and said to us that your system, the way you are made up, required that mandated rest. Not just rest, but it is a time of spiritual orientation, holy to the Lord, that you consecrate it to the Lord, to know that God has helped you through the day. It's a time of reflection, it's a time of rest, right? A time where you can contemplate what God is doing for you, or what God has done for you. The severity of infringement with the imposition of death penalty, as the ceremonial law is of the old covenant, is done away. Well, we said that today we don't impose a death penalty. That was a ceremonial law for Israel. Right? The ceremonial law is done away, right, in the new covenant with Christ. It is true. Right? But the point is this, that the significance, the severe significance of it in the sight of God for its keeping should not be taken lightly. Right. So there is a correlation between Sabbath and life, not death. Sabbath and life. So I quote again, Rush Dooney. He said, the death penalties attached to the violation of the Sabbath in the Old Testament era convey two very obvious assumptions. First, the Sabbath law involves a principle so important and basic that violation thereof is a capital punishment. And second, the law conveys also the fact that violation of the law, the Sabbath laws, involves a kind of death, and of itself that violation brings on death. The prophets clearly made this assumption. Obedience by implication means life. Right? So God, when he mandated the Sabbath day, it was for our life. Israel was redeemed as slaves from Egypt so that they can have the Sabbath rest. And if they would not appropriate it, then isn't it something that they have truly missed out for their good? Severe laws enforced the Sabbath rest. It was not worship which the law demanded, but rest. That's the meaning of the word Sabbath. Rest. Remember that the principal purpose of the Sabbath is not worship, but rest. Only as worship qualifies as rest and refreshing to the man, as true worship does, is it a necessary aspect of the Sabbath rest. But the essence of Sabbath is rest. So second, we view the Sabbath in terms of man exclusively rather than man centrally. Right? As a result, we miss its meaning. By approaching the Sabbath from the standpoint of the earth, we can better understand its meaning. The commandment makes clear that the Sabbath day of rest is for man and beast alike. Right? Not just for yourself, but also for your animal. That means you don't work your animal during the time when you are resting. It's a rest for both man and beast. Exodus 23, verse 10 to 11. 6 years shalt thou sow thy land, and thou shalt gather in the fruits thereof. But the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lay still to the poor of thy people, that they may eat, and what they leave, the beast of the field shall eat. In like manner shalt thou deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. So attached to the 6 day work and 1 day rest, right, is also the Sabbath year for the land. Right? 6 years shall you till your land. On the seventh year, right, you should let your land lay fallow. Leviticus 25, verse 1 to 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years shall thou sow thy field, and 6 years shall thou prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field, nor prune thy vineyard, that which groweth of its own, of thy harvest, thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the Lord, unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servants, and for thy meat, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for thy beasts that are in the land, in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. And verse 20 to 22 of Leviticus 25. And ye shall say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Right, good question, right? If you don't work, then where you find your subsistence? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. Then I will command, the Lord says, I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year. And it shall bring forth fruit for how many years? 3 years. And ye shall sow the eighth year and eat the yet of the old fruit until the ninth year. until her fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store. Right? So the Lord is saying to them that they are to trust him, in other words. Trust him to take care of you. That he is the one taking care of you. You see? And it is easy for us to forget. And, you know, forget the thought, the truth, right, that all our blessings comes from the Lord. If he had not blessed us, we would not have. And that is why Israel, right, failed miserably. These laws, it should be noted, were not well observed in much of Israel's history. Between the Exodus and the Babylonian captivity, it was neglected 70 times. And hence, 70 years of captivity imposed to give the land rest. 2 Chronicles 36:21. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. And so the Lord is saying to us that there is that mandated rest that he has given to us. And Rush Dooney, he make a comb of the Bible to tell us what you are not to do on the Sabbath. And in the Old Testament, it is given as a general law that there should be no work done on the Sabbath. And the gates should be shut. Nehemiah 13 verse 19. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place the seventh day. Exodus 16:29. Asses should not be laden. Nehemiah 13:15. Burdens borne. Jeremiah 17:21-22. Fires kindled. Exodus 35 verse 3, which we mentioned. Nor sheaves brought in. Nehemiah 13 verse 15. No sticks gathered. Numbers 15:32-35. Nor victuals and wares bought. Right, or sold, no buying and selling, Nehemiah 13 verse 15. However, lives could be saved on the Sabbath, Mark 3 verse 4, Luke 6 verse 9. Since redemption is the essence of the Sabbath, and this can mean healing the sick, Matthew 12:10-13, or rescuing an animal that has fallen into a pit, Matthew 12 verse 11. Remember the story when Jesus was questioned by the Pharisees, right, concerning what is work. And so the Lord wants us to understand the true meaning of it. Right? And a thirsty animal can be taken to water to in fulfillment of the Sabbath. Right? Luke 13 verse 15. So there are three Sabbath that is spoken of in the scripture. The creation Sabbath, the Hebrew Sabbath, which commemorated the deliverance from Egypt, and the Christian Sabbath, which is kept in commemoration of Christ's finished work, his resurrection, and is the only Sabbath that remains. Right? What do we do when we come to the Lord on the Lord's Day? Well, we remember that there would become to us an eternal rest that God will give to us. Right. Today, you labor on this earth, but an eternal rest that God would give to you one day, right, when all your labors are done. Right. So, the mandated rest, and second thought, the commandment for work. The commandment for work, right, verse 2 says, 6 days shall work be done. So, it is significant that God commanded for 6 days of work. Men, like God, is to work and to rest. And thus, human life is the copy of divine life. The work of God's people is to be instrumental in the restoration of the divine order to the earth. Same thought, no? Rush Dooney. Divine labor terminates in happy rest. Not till Creator rests satisfied in the contemplation of his works in his creation itself complete. So too, human labor is not to run on in resultless circles, but to terminate in a happy harmony of existence. The Sabbath gives purpose to man's life, that you work, but there is a rest that comes with it. You see it? You see it? This is what God is saying to us, right? And so the Sabbath gives purpose to man's life in that it makes labor meaningful and purposive, and it links it to a joyful consummation. Right? That there is a rest that comes, right? After the sweat, after the labor, and it is given this rest that God gives to us, Genesis 5:29. This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which God had cursed. Now, these are the words for Noah, all right, at that time. And Israel is also learning this message. Okay? And you would notice also that the work, that the labor that was done, right? Well, it's not a work that that comes only after the fall of man, but rather creation. Right? In at the beginning of creation, God said to man, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And so here there is that relationship between the Sabbath and the work that brings all things into relationship to God and in dedication to Him. So all the things that we would do, right, man is to subdue the earth, there is that rest that God had after He created, right, is patterned after God's order, so that man will not forget his creator. But that is the whole substance of this discussion, right? So the Lord wants us to see, right, that yeah, you can work, and God had put in your hands work 6 days, in fact, right? That means your work is many times more than the rest that you'd have, right? But God had mandated that you would have that rest. And in that rest, you find yourself having a spiritual orientation. Right? There's a spiritual orientation, right? That you remember the Lord, that He is the one who had delivered you, and that your work is meaningful, because it is related, right, to what He has given you. So we begin each week with the Lord, right, in His house on the Lord's Day. And do not forget that order, that order, and it is a precursor of the eternal rest that God will give to us. Amen.